B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7. Whenever you hear Ozzy, you know what time it is. Time to get smarter. Our guy Neil Greenberg joins the program. Greenberg, what up, man? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing super. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
I want to start with hockey, and then we'll get to football. But what do you make of Ovi, the knee? He's on IR now. That means he misses at least three games. Three games, no big deal. I'd even say like five, eight games, no big deal. But God, this sucks because he was just playing at such an outrageous level.
Yeah, I mean, he was gaining ground on Gretzky almost every day at a very rapid pace. He was on track for almost 60 goals. I looked into the record a couple of days ago, and my estimates had him breaking the record around game 60 of this season. So there is some wiggle room here if he misses a couple of games, but there's two variables, right? We don't know when he will be back, and we don't know how he will be when he comes back. Leg injury, obviously, for a skating sport is very substantial. We don't see Ovechkin hurt almost ever, so the fact that he's even in this situation is alarming. It's tough. I mean, this was a dream season, right? Like, he wasn't limping to the record. He was sprinting and just absolutely defying all odds in terms of his age and everything. And, you know, we're kind of in limbo right now.
What do you think? If they say week to week, you think it's – I heard people starting to speculate, oh, they could be lying. But, listen, I take it. They say week to week. I took that as a positive.
You take it as a positive?
Yeah, because I think if it's week to week, I mean, he'll be coming back. If it was anything
serious, I mean, I think he'll be coming back. But again, yeah. I mean, a leg injury is tough.
But a guy that has fought through everything, don't you think if anybody can fight through it, he will be the one that fight through it unless it's something serious? And I think by the week to week statement, it doesn't tell me it's the season's over.
Yeah, hockey is normally vague, though, on timelines and injuries. I mean, we all know what happened. They'll still call it a lower body injury.
That's crazy.
I remember a couple years ago, Ovechkin, like, went down in a heap early on in the season, and he needed help off the ice, and then he was back the next period. You want to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, everyone's just guessing right now, right? Like, we're all just guessing as to the severity of the injury. We probably won't know. There's been plenty of times the season ends and we hear people have been skating on broken legs and you know, torn ACLs and all that other stuff. I guess the good news is Ovechkin, you know, he needs, what, like 30 goals or somewhere thereabouts. If he comes back soon, it's certainly within reach.
Like 27.
I think it was 27.
27, 26, something like that.
Yeah, you just got to maintain a positive outlook and hope it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah. It's funny, we're all very caught up on Ovi, understandably, but the Caps are also kicking ass as a team. How big of a blow is this to the first place in the Metro Washington Capitals that you're talking about some level of missed time for Ovechkin, and he's their leading scorer. And
yeah,
then probably they're like
a emotional
center.
I mean, you know, obviously you need your best players to be your best players. The Capitals have a ton of talent, right? Dylan Strome, Connor McMichael, maybe the best Connor Mick in the league.
That's a take right there, Greenberg.
So definitely, they definitely have the supporting cast. And they definitely have the talent to keep things going. But you lose the best goal scorer, you know, you're going to take a hit. I saw in the betting markets, they're probably like a distant fourth to be the best team in the conference. Their division hopes have certainly taken a hit. Again, it all depends. If Ovechkin's back next week, this is probably a blip. If it's 2 weeks or more, I think we start to have some conversations as to what are the revised expectations for the team.
That sounds about fair. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here, sports writer and stats geek, not nerd, for the Washington Post. You can follow him at N Greenberg. All right, speaking of conversations, I think we might be getting to a little bit of a crossroads here. Your Washington Commanders just played 2 games in 5 days against 2 of the best teams in football. 2 really good defenses, plus they had a bunch of injuries. Quarterback was dealing, coming back from an injury. The offensive line had a ton of injuries. That's the context. They've now lost 2 games in a row for the first time in this season, first time in Dan Quinn's Washington tenure, first time in Jaden's NFL career. Blip on the radar or something more to see?
Well, this is now the 3rd or 4th good team that they've lost to, right? Like, they've beaten the teams that they probably should have beaten, but they lose to Tampa in the opener. That's fine. I mean, there was a lot of new stuff happening. They lose a squeaker to Baltimore. Then they lose to Pittsburgh by 1. And then, like you said, the Philadelphia Eagles by another, you know, 1-possession game. So what's happening is they're losing to good teams. And the teams they beat, the wins look worse and worse as the season goes on because those teams aren't winning, right? So it's putting Washington in a weird spot. I know a lot of the objective rankings have dropped them pretty significantly into like the 16th to 19th range, best team in the league. So they need to start to make those convincing wins happen again. Dallas obviously has some issues. I think they're 10-point favorites over Dallas right now. So they're going to have to start to impress people again, I think, and start beating teams that are considered good. They don't really have a lot of options on their schedule. It's through no fault of their own. You know, New Orleans, maybe. They play Philadelphia again in Atlanta. So, you know, it's time for them to start to assert themselves. But the back-to-back losses, I think, have soured a lot of the objective metrics, meaning ones that are based on numbers alone. But I still think the team is fine. It's just we're starting to see some regression in terms of the offense, especially not humming along as it was before.
If they beat Dallas by
comfortably
4 or 5 points, does that make a difference? Or, 'cause I know for me, I don't care if they beat them by 1 point or 40 points. But
yeah,
you got to beat them by 40 points to make
sure.
The trouble
is Dallas will be 3-8 at that point. So, you know,
but you
got
to beat the people that you played, O'Neal. How about the Ravens losing
to
sorry teams?
I get it. We talked this before, right? Like, this is a fraud league. If you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, you're still considered a fraud because you haven't played anybody. And if you lose to those teams, you're considered a fraud because you can't beat them. So Washington's in a tough spot here. I think Washington just has to take care of business, beat the teams that are in front of them, and then they have a chance to show everybody what they're capable of in the playoffs, right? Like that to me is the objective of Washington. Stay healthy, make the playoffs, and then, you know, start to assert your dominance in a way that convinces people that you were for real all along. Like, that's really the only thing that they can do because, like you said, they can only play the teams in front of them.
It's just so interesting because the game to win was Pittsburgh. They gave that thing away. You had a double-digit lead in the third quarter. You got 2 turnovers. You're only able to generate 1 first down. But that Pittsburgh team looks pretty good. Like, they just beat the Ravens when they're unable to score a touchdown. I believe, and if I'm proven wrong next week, this will happen. But I believe we're at a bit of a much ado about nothing stage where I lean anyway more towards this was 2 games against, like, the anecdotal evidence surrounding Cliff and a rookie wall perhaps. I understand why people have the great concern. B said like a 4 or 5 point win over Dallas. To me, it's not about the number, although that may matter for, you know, people that end up laying the points or whatever. It's about how it looks. Because if they only win by 5 because Dallas in the fourth quarter scores a late touchdown to cover, I don't care, right? You just want them. What I care about, Greenberg, and I'm curious if there's a stat you look for, what I care about is offensive efficiency is about third downs, time of possession, getting back to where you were winning games and looking your best, and you can hit play action, Jaden can hit you on the edges, and the passing game is crisp.
Yeah, the offense needs to look like the well-oiled machine it was before, right? Like, even in the losses, they were scoring on almost every trip to the red zone. They weren't turning the ball over. Like, this offense was the talk of the town, right? And not just town locally. I mean, like, the NFL at large.
The country, yeah. Stephen A.
I mean, everyone was talking about the offense.
Cowherd.
Now,
right.
Now the conversation is Bo Nix the offensive rookie of the year, right? Like, did he start to creep into this conversation? And maybe it's not a lock for Jaden Daniels as much as it was before. This is a very much what have you done for me lately league in all aspects. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if the defense is the final score doesn't matter to me as much as like what you said. Are they efficient on both sides of the ball? Are they able to do the things that they're supposed to do? And, you know, are they limiting the mistakes, right? Because, like, that's the stuff that transfers from week to week. So that's really what I'm looking for. I think they'll be fine against Dallas. I think they'll be fine this season. I just think it's going to come down to, you know, once they make the playoffs, and I still think they'll be a playoff team, you know, how do they look in that first playoff game? And then, you know, what's the conversation then? That to me is really what matters. The regular season, playing who they play, you know, everyone's in the similar situation. You play who's in front of you, and you're just trying to make it to the postseason healthy.
Mm-hmm. Totally. You know, it's just remarkable. You know what? This defense has been really good for three quarters in two straight games. And then I think the offensive efficiency kills them late in those games.
Yep.
It's just, like, you mentioned this Bo Nix thing, and there's just such a rush to judgment on all things in the NFL. And I've watched a little bit of Broncos. Like, I have some friends on that staff, and I don't know. If there's a question about who's better, I think it's asinine. But that's fine. Everybody's allowed to do what they want. Denver's playing good football, though, and I think here's where I would delineate between Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. I think Denver's playing some good football, and Nix is a part of that. I think Washington, now granted they're on a two-game slump, but Washington, over the course of this season, through 11 games, has played some really good football, and I think Jaden Daniels is
the reason,
right? Like,
yes.
What does Barkley say? There's bus drivers and bus riders or something? Like, right now, Daniels is driving, and I think Nick's, on some level, as much as a quarterback can, is riding.
Right, and like for me, it's no contest. I think Jaden Daniels is the offensive rookie of the year 10 times out of 10. The fact that there's a conversation now that we're having, I think, is what's interesting to me.
But you know what's crazy, dude? Is it's kind of like the rhetoric of sports conversation is, I feel like most people are like, oh, well, it's Daniels, but now it's a conversation. Like, it's a conversation because we're making it one.
Yeah.
And maybe the Denver's play is
doing has
14-6 is legit.
Has helped him.
Yeah.
So I think that he's played his way into the conversation. I think there's a huge gap between the two, personally. I think that he's in the conversation only because there was no one in the conversation for weeks, right? Because Jaden Daniels was winning Offensive Rookie of the Year for the week. You know, he was on a team that was, absolutely dominating on offense, historical efficiency, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, the gap to me is just narrowed, and now there's someone else to talk about. I don't necessarily think that it's a race, but I think that it's now a conversation that someone, at the very least, is now threatening in some way, where I didn't think that was happening before. I think Jaden Daniels is a fringe MVP candidate. I don't think Bo Nix is anywhere close to that. So I think that we're kind of talking in shades of gray here. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Jaden Daniels is the offensive rookie of the year. I think Bo Nix has a chance to at least, you know, get himself more in the conversation, depending on what happens. But, again, this is a very much what have you done for me lately. And, you know, people like to talk about the hot thing.
Yeah, for sure.
We let the people that who like to start ish get too big.
Talking with Neil Greenberg here from the Washington Post. You can check out his work at N Greenberg or over at the Washington Post. We're going to do them a little later in the program, but we might as well get this set part of the session over with. You do your own power rankings, which I applaud. You actually do your own homework. I like that. Where do you have the old Washington Commanders?
I have them 19th.
Damn,
they've fallen
that's
down
a fall.
To 19th.
I feel 2 weeks ago, I think you had them top 10.
In the NFL, yeah. I have them because the wins aren't looking as good, and they got a couple losses, and I'm pretty sure I'm close because the I have the Dallas game as like minus 9.5, and I think the actual line is minus what 10.5. So I think I'm pretty close to where the other objective rankings are, including odds makers. Their record is going to have them more at the top for the subjective rankings, but I think right now they're probably closer to the bottom than they are the top.
What? All right, so the three of us can run through this. Who do we consider the good teams? I think the real Super Bowl, the top teams are Lions, Chiefs, Bills. And then I'd have a tier below that.
Well, that's fair.
Go ahead.
I think it's the Lions and Bills. And then I think, and I have it as a gap to like the Eagles, Ravens, Vikings, 49ers, Packers, and then another gap with like Chiefs.
You think the Chiefs are behind all those teams?
I do, only because their 9-1 record. You look at their score differential; they probably should have 6 or 7 wins. I don't think Patrick Mahomes has played really great.
See, that's the problem, though. If he hadn't played great and he's 9-1,
sure.
You got to worry about him waking up.
You're absolutely right. And again, this is numbers driven. This isn't me, my feelings in it. Would I bet against Mahomes and the Chiefs? Never. Not in a million years. But my power rankings have it as like two very good teams and then just like a glut of teams in the second and third tier, which you can rank probably any way you want, and I wouldn't be able to have an argument. But I think Detroit has shown to be the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Buffalo is certainly there as well. The Eagles have a miraculous turnaround after their 2-2 start. They're playing really great football. And I think the Ravens are, you know, they're one of the most balanced, solid teams that we have. And I think that they're also near the top.
How do you reconcile, excuse me, I think you had the Niners somewhere in your top 10?
Six.
They're now... Sixth. You have them sixth.
Yeah.
They're 5-5.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not only outside of the playoffs looking in.
Injuries.
They're 1-3 in the division.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm crazy.
I'm not saying that. I understand that people believe there's a lot of talent. And maybe they'll get hot down the stretch here. There are still 6 games to play, or I guess they have 7. I am fully cognizant that there's a lot of football left and that that's a talented squad. Mm-hmm. But, like, when is your break point for, I don't want to say preconceived notions, but you go into the season thinking San Fran's going to be damn good, and that kind of impacts it, right? And
it does, yeah. Not as much now as it did, let's say, like in week 3. It's mostly, yeah, I mean, this isn't an exact science, and there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know, and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm sure I'm wrong about. Like, there's a lot of stuff. I'm sure that I'm wrong about all of the, like, all the ratings I have just because there's just a lot of stuff that we don't know. But when you look at, like, how good the 49ers are versus expectations, both on offense and defense, they're the 6th best team in the league in terms of scoring more points than expected and saving more points than expected on defense. So that's ultimately what's keeping them relatively high. I mean, they're a good football team with some losses. But
dude, that loss last week is just unforgivable.
Well, it is, yeah. But again, I mean, it's my ratings aren't going to be volatile one week to the next based on one game. Like, what would push the needle the most is obviously injuries and future outlook, but also, you know, current performance relative to what we've seen in the past. Outliers aren't going to move it all that much. So, yeah, I think San Francisco is still a good team. You know, can I definitively say they're the sixth best team in the league? No, but do I think that they're top 10? I think so. Do I think that they're in like that second to third tier of contenders? I absolutely do.
It's going to be fascinating, man. Down the stretch we come. This league never, ever seems to disappoint, man. Thank you for the time, Neil, as always, buddy.
All right. Talk to you guys. I don't know if I'll talk to you guys next week for the holiday, but if I don't, happy holidays. If not, I will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, buddy. Let's all hope Ovi gets better. That's our friend Neil Greenberg at N Greenberg on X. Maybe Ooh. Blue Sky, too. I don't know. Everybody's
five
joining
five
Blue Sky.
Six.
I mean, the Niners are one of the most fascinating stories. We're going to get into this in just a moment about what are the best jobs that might become available. Things are moving. Joe Douglas just got fired in New York.
That whole New York Jet thing is a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Now the story comes out that Woody was trying BS.
Let's
stop all that.
We're going to get into that. But one thing all these coaches are going to have to figure out, they're moving. And if you're moving and you're in the DMV, there's only one guy to call. That is John Leahy.
Just like Chandra did. Chandra was in the process of selling her Germantown property so she and her husband could buy themselves a new home. Chandra didn't have time to do any repairs or upgrades to her property and was worried that she wouldn't be able to sell that condo. So she reached out to John Leahy and the Final Living Group, and they took care of everything that needed to be and got it sold with their VIP selling program. John and his team were able to get their condo sold above the asking price and also help Chandra upgrade her home. And if you're looking for a seamless home selling experience, reach out to John right now because his guaranteed offer just might be for you. See for yourself at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Well, and when B talks about letting you out of your contract, I think people got to understand that decisions like moving are probably the biggest emotional and financial decision you're going to make in your life. Like buying or selling a home is probably your greatest financial asset, right? And so you need to be informed. You need to be with somebody that understands the market, understands the trends, understands where things are going, and how to get top dollar for your house. I think the key with John is just to have a discussion with him. Let him know what you're looking for, what your goals are, what you think could actually happen, and then see where it goes from there. There's no rush on any of this, but it is important to know on his website, johnsellsdmv.com, you can click on this home valuation tool, and you'll get an accurate assessment of your home's value in 30 seconds, and then make a decision from there. Have a conversation with John. That home valuation tool can tell you a lot. And if you really need it, John can get you an instant cash offer within 24 hours. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, down on the corner. We are getting to that time. How many coaches have already been fired in the NFL?
One or two.
Jets.
Jets fired theirs, and then the Saints fired theirs. That's two. That's it.
That's it. I mean, it's also not even Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah, but they didn't look how bad they were playing.
Right. So Jets and Saints have already had fired coaches. I think looking around the league, I think Jacksonville's firing Doug Peterson. I think Chicago's going to fire Eberflus. I think everybody in Tampa's cool. You think Bowles is cool?
Man, look, you don't know what's happening with this league anymore. This league decides to do what they want. And have people write stories to say that, oh, you wanted to bench the quarterback that you brought in.
What do you? All right, so let's talk about
this. I think that's a bunch of crap.
The Jets situation is a disaster.
Yeah.
I think, to me, the center of the Jets' disaster is two men. And neither of their names are Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas.
No, they're
it's
Aaron
Woody
Rodgers
Johnson.
And Woody Johnson.
Yeah, like, good luck with all that. Woody didn't want to bench anybody. Woody was taking Aaron's side on everything. Believe what you want out of that situation, but what you've got happening in New York now, so Saleh's talking to reporters, Douglas is talking to reporters, everybody's trying to cover their ass. Remember, self-preservation league. Everybody wants to look good so they get their next job. Woody Johnson, by the way, he's talking to people, too. Mm-hmm. You know who else is? Aaron Rodgers. And it ain't just on Tuesdays on McAfee. So that thing's a disaster.
All right, question. This story came out. How does Aaron Rodgers react to that? Unless Woody say, look, I got to put this out there to protect me.
Dude, I mean, I said this one a while back. I don't think Aaron Rodgers finishes out. I think there's a mystery injury.
I damn sure agree with you now.
I think there's a mystery injury or, like, another ayahuasca. Like, he has to go back to Egypt. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen there. That is just too far gone of a disaster. But, B, I wanted to – so running through the jobs, two are already going to be available because there's no way – what's my man's name with the Jets? Ulbrich? Ulbrich ain't keeping that job. And I think the dude with the Saints is named Rizzy. I think that's his name.
Hey, they're playing better.
Yeah, neither of those guys.
Nothing happened for the Jets, though. The Jets got worse.
Right. All right. Jets have already made a change. Do you think Miami would make a change on McDaniel? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay, I don't either.
I mean, they had an injury.
Yeah.
That really derailed them at the most important position.
What about the Pats with Mayo? They're bad. I don't think
after 1 year. I think one thing about Kraft, he's kind of loyal to his people. And I believe that Mayo is one of his guys.
Agreed. All right.
And he gets to dip his nose in the business when he couldn't do that with Bill.
Right. Going to the AFC North, the Browns are going to fire Stefanski, don't you think? They're 2-8. The Browns are similar to the Jets and similar to what this place used to be. Like, when you have terrible ownership, you just kind of keep cycling through stuff, and occasionally you get a blip on the radar, a sugar high of being good, but it's not really sustainable. I think the Browns will make a change. I think by far the most fascinating job that may or may not become available be the Bengals.
They're not firing him early. If he were to get fired, it'll be at the end of the season. Or he has another year on his contract. If he got a year on his contract, he ain't going nowhere.
They don't like paying him.
They ain't paying nobody that's not working for them.
That's kind of what I thought, too. I think he'll be there a long time, frankly. Yeah. Zach Taylor, I mean, they've been pretty good, right? His record's a little worse than you'd expect, though. Now, 19, they had nothing. Then they get the number one pick. They get Burrow. They go 4-11 that year, Burrow's rookie year. Burrow also had the knee injury that year, sustained it in Landover. 21, they go to the Super Bowl, they lose. They've been a playoff team since. This year sure looks like they're not. I would be very intrigued by that job. I'm with you, though. I don't think it's going to come open just because of how that organization is. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people will suggest they think the Bears is the best job. What do you think the best job that will become available is?
You mentioned 49ers?
I haven't.
I mean, you mentioned it in your tease.
Sure.
If that comes open, that's the best.
Do you think that'll come open?
I just heard somebody saying it the other day. I doubt it.
The only person I've heard say it was Rooster. And I guess there's this
right
dude.
Why I doubt it. Listen, man, I'm going to just say this.
There's this dude, there's a reporter in San Fran that appears trying to.
I don't think that reporter is. I don't think if anything goes south in San Fran, it's going to have anything to do with that reporter. I think that the guy that the reporter was talking about, he can say some things and he'll rub people the wrong way sometimes.
That reporter seems like he thrives on trying to create controversy.
100%.
I don't know. I don't know him. I don't want to cast aspersions, but that sure seems like somebody is. You're not like one of the things they teach you in journalism school is to never become the story. You want to report the story, but never be a part of the story. Mm. That dude is firmly a part of the story and seems to be enjoying it.
Yeah,
Kyle. I cannot imagine wanting to get rid of Kyle Shanahan. I can't. They were in the Super Bowl. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl last year.
They've been in the Super Bowl 2 years.
Twice in his run there.
And didn't win.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, your expectations change. So what he could get fired for, somebody else would never get fired for.
Right. My question with Kyle, specifically in San Fran, if they miss the playoffs this year, there's going to be some real turmoil. When a coach, and I don't even want to say Kyle runs hot, Because I think he's grown and evolved a lot as the coach of the Niners. All right, maybe you disagree. But when, because this happens to great coaches. It happened to Andy Reid in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like,
if
when
they fired
does
Andy
it,
in Philadelphia, they, if they got rid of Andy in Philadelphia, anybody can be gone.
In Andy's tenure in Philly, they were winning 60% of their games, and he had a winning record in 19 playoff games. Now, they only got to the Super Bowl once. But when does a coach's message get tired? I don't know that there's a finite answer to that.
The
but
coach's
like,
message gets tired when he stops getting support from ownership in the front office. If the coach has support from ownership in front office, his message never gets tired. Once they decide they can flip on him, that message is tired. As soon as you see any inkling that they're not supporting him anymore, whatever he says, if even saying the right stuff, it's tired. Nobody believes in it.
So I agree with that. Have you seen any hint of that happening in San Fran? I don't know that I
haven't seen anything. But let's remember, though. You've been to two. You've always been around the NFC Championship game for the last 4 or 5 years. They're going to start to think you can't get over the hump and make it. Dan was in that same Super Bowl Kyle was in. Oh, this guy was in three of them. Now he hadn't won it, so can he win it?
Right.
See, the messages and the narratives come from whatever, whoever want to push them. Eventually, when you are that good of a coach, you have to win it or they're going to let you go.
That's a fascinating one to watch. I got to think cooler.
I don't believe nothing's going to happen because right. I think, you know, Christian was hurt. All those other guys that were hurt, Trent hurt.
Debo, Ayuk, yeah.
I think all that comes into play, but I think ultimately if you don't win it soon, people are going to start pointing towards whoever's in charge, and the in charge is the head coach. It's not the GM. It's not the owner. It's going to be the head coach that's going to be the one that they're going to judge.
Now, I'm going to be dead honest. I didn't actually listen to the audio or read the article, but – I was taking care of stuff yesterday. I wasn't on my phone much, but there was one tweet that stood out to me. It was about our guy, Roostizzle. And Rooster basically said, what if there's a path to get Kyle back to D.C.? If he gets fired by the Niners and then doesn't want to be a head coach and Kingsbury gets another job, you bring Kyle back as the O.C.
I don't think that's happening.
You know what I did at that point? I closed my phone out. Yeah, I said, I don't need this in my life.
Sometimes you got to think about stuff before you post it.
Well, who knows what it was. If Bruce
Kyle
wants
ain't
to,
going backwards. If Bruce wants to come back here.
Right. Here's the actual tweet. And this isn't from Rooster. This is from the 980 account. So who knows? Maybe somebody's just messing with him. It says, the Niners lost again yesterday. And WrestleMania 621 wonders if they'll consider moving on from Kyle Shanahan and if Kyle could make his way back to D.C. somehow. The answer is no. Nobody go anywhere. It's me, Mitchell Finley. Shout out to Stevie Wonder. When I did that all cast with Nucci last week, we asked him if he could have anybody on the front porch, who would it be? And he said, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. It's genius right there, brother.
That's pretty cool. All right, let's let the boys in the aquarium weigh in. We'll all go around. Assuming no big surprises, no San Fran or Cincinnati opens up, here are your choices. Saints, Jets, Jags, Cowboys, Bears. What's the best job that will probably be open, Jeffrey?
You know, I would personally take the Bears.
You would?
Yeah, I would. You got a young quarterback. He's not bad. He's just in a bad situation. I just think the coach, good coaching. You got some pieces around him. I think you could do more with the Bears.
You said the Bears, the Saints, and who else?
Bunch of Bears, Cowboys, Jags, Jets, Saints.
Cowboys might be the best because they're going to pay you the most. That's a loaded damn roster too, brother. Let's be real. But
it was. They've lost a lot of strength in the trenches, man. They
got
to rebuild.
I tell you like this here, man. You get paid enough. You can deal with Jerry's BS.
Landini, what's your job?
Probably also the Bears.
Like, I think a lot of these teams are pretty damn similar. Ownership problems.
Let's be real, though, Jay.
Jets, Cowboys, Bears, I think that's pretty similar.
I would be totally honest with you. I wouldn't give a damn which one of them open. It's an NFL team. It's 32 of them out there. You're going to make some money. If they fire you, guess what? You still get paid. All of them good.
I might take the Jags job. If you believe in Trevor Lawrence, they got some talent on that roster. And
do you believe in Trevor Lawrence?
Of the people that are on this list.
How many years Trevor Lawrence been playing?
I think you're probably getting rid of Derek Carr, right? So you're starting over with, at Saints quarterback.
You get to choose.
The Jets, good luck.
Yeah, but Trevor Lawrence, he's played, what, 4 or 5 years?
Five, I think he's.
What do you think he is? Is he what he's shown, or is he something different?
He's shown some really good.
He's shown some very awful, too.
Yeah. I think this year there's clearly an injury. I think they kind of shut him down. He throws a lot of picks. I'm just saying, of those five, I think that's the quarterback I believe in most. Maybe it's still Caleb. I just don't know that anybody can win in Chicago. It's how it used to be here. I think they're out of that world. It's very pleasant to be out of that world. Yeah. I don't know, man. You know what I like? Not having to worry about it. Who's the next coach going to be? Dan Quinn.
There you go. And I'm with that.
It just a little bit of stability goes a long way, B.
Definitely.
When we come back, let's get into our power rankings. At 1:30, Mark Seagraves from NBC4 is going to join us. He was at the hearing yesterday down on Capitol Hill on all this RFK momentum. Where is it? What roadblocks are next? Will they get it done? We'll explore it all. Nobody go anywhere.